It is a Thursday morning show on Northern Community Radio. It's a mix of national news and local features. Let's see, we've talked fishing. We've talked sports today. We've heard about what's going on with the pending hurricane coming into Florida and what's happening there. And now we're going to be talking with Chuck Marone. He's no stranger to KEXE, KBXE Airwaves. He's our conservative commentator of Dig Deep and CEO and founder of Strong Towns. This week, he had an article in the National Review called Piling on Houston, where he tells us why he thinks much of the media reports aren't quite right. Chuck Marone joins us now. Morning, Chuck. Thanks for being here.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, first, do you want to say anything about the Twins?
Yeah, my gosh. The further we get into September with them still at the top in the, you know, in the wild card race, the more exciting life becomes, doesn't it? It's just beautiful.
So, Chuck, if you're conservative, are you a conservative Twins fan?
Yeah, I suppose I am. Maybe that makes me.
And what does that mean?
More delusional and optimistic.
Yeah, oh, I see.
You know, when you look at the Twins, what you really want is to have a fun August. You know, an August where you're competitive. And, you know, with the way Major League Baseball has changed the wild card, that means there's a few more teams who get to enjoy that. I did not think that was going to be us this year. So I kind of feel like we're playing with house money at this point.
Yeah.
And if everything blows up and goes bad, we've had a great run, and this is a lot of fun. And I think people should be really optimistic about the next few years for this team. They're one of the more exciting teams in baseball.
Absolutely.
Well, Chuck, let's start talking about the article that you wrote that was in the National Review this week. We've been seeing all the TV coverage and hearing the reports out of National Public Radio on Hurricane Harvey and hearing lots of different sorts of things about who's to blame and different things like that. I wonder if we can start this conversation with kind of how you did in your article about how things are different than 12 years ago with Hurricane Katrina in our country and how it's reported on even.
It's really fascinating to me because I remember watching the coverage on Hurricane Katrina, and there was a lot of dissonance at the time because you had the president, George Bush, you know, kind of going around patting people on the back, and then you had that juxtaposed with the terrible tragedy at the stadium. And, you know, the people who were suffering and we couldn't get them out and we weren't getting rescue stuff to them. There was a lot of focus in that one on the human tragedy. And from I'm an engineer, I'm a planner. There was some focus on that aspect of it. But a lot of it was in lines of, you know, why haven't we maintained this stuff? You know, why were we so complacent? And then, you know, why would we build a city below sea level in a hurricane alley? Those were all questions that, you know, were part of the mix and the conversation. But for the most part, there was outrage at, you know, the condition of people and a lot of compassion for people as well.
And you're not seeing it in the same way now.
It's very interesting. And I don't know if it is just a byproduct of how, you know, we continue to become polarized and divisive as a society, or if it's something different than that, and maybe I'm just hypersensitive to that aspect of it. But yeah, immediately once Hurricane Harvey started to hit Houston and the Houston area, there was this flood of reports, and I'm not talking about fringe organizations. I'm talking about the New York Times, the Washington Post, Newsweek, talking about how Houston is now, you know, getting what they deserve, essentially. Houston is a place that is further on the intensity spectrum in terms of regulation. They are notoriously lax, let's say, even though I think we could dispute that, and maybe we should talk about that in a bit. But the narrative around Harvey, there was some of it about, you know, here's the tragedy and the human element and isn't this sad. But there was always this kind of undercurrent of this is what happens when, you know, you don't plan. This is what happens when you're cheap. This is what happens when you let developers run rampant in a city. And I found it really distasteful because not only was that a wrong and incorrect set of statements, but it just was, you know, poorly couched and poorly timed, I thought.
How is it wrong?
Well, first of all, Houston does not have zoning. That's something that when I was in planning school, they kept telling us over and over again, you know, Houston is the Wild West. They don't have zoning. When you actually go to Houston and work with them, which I've had an opportunity to do, you find out that they just don't call it zoning, but they have the same exact regulations that we do here that we call zoning. They have parking regulations. They have setback requirements. They have use restrictions. Some of this stuff is brought down to the neighborhood level, so it's done not at City Hall, but in property associations and what have you. But they absolutely have, you know, the regulations that we would look at here as being zoning. They also follow all the Corps of Engineers requirements. It was interesting because there was a lot of talk about wetland filling and how they have, you know, paved over all this stuff. Houston is huge. I mean, it's a massive city, but its layout and design is unremarkable. I mean, the vegetation and the landscape around it is different, but it's very much like the outskirts of Minneapolis and St. Paul. I mean, there's a lot of similarity in terms of the land use pattern. The idea that this is some like renegade place that is unrecognizable to the rest of America is just not correct.
We're talking with Chuck Marone this morning. He's our conservative commentator for Dig Deep on KEXE, KBXE. He had an article this week in the National Review having to do with Hurricane Harvey. There was another headline that you mentioned in this article. It was in the Philadelphia Inquirer. It said, "Why development more than climate change caused Houston's flooding." What do you think is faulty in that headline?
Well, I think there's a lot that's wrong with that. The cause, let's just step back and say, what is the cause of this flood? And I think that's what people are struggling with. Sometimes really extreme events happen. And, you know, I think we can look at, you know, we've got Irma now heading towards Miami. This is the largest tropical storm that has ever been, or the largest hurricane that's ever been measured. This seems to be an extreme event. When we look at Harvey, you have, you know, off the scale, the largest rainfall event ever measured in North America. The next highest one is around 32 inches. Harvey was 52 inches. So this is, you know, a couple of magnitudes greater. If we took, and this is the point that I try to make in National Review, if we took the most intensively planned city and the most sincere group of planners and engineers and put them in Houston 3 decades ago and say, go out and plan for the largest storm event you can imagine and really, you know, make sure we do this right, they wouldn't have come anywhere near Harvey. And so it is really a stretch to say planning and engineering has failed us. You know, we didn't do this right. Somehow, you know, we messed up. This is just an event larger than, you know, what humans have modeled. And I think the lesson taken away from that should be more about humility than it is about, you know, our ability to build huge things and mitigate all future disasters.
Chuck, I don't know if this is the right way to lead this conversation now, but you talked about the, you know, filling in of wetlands and paving over areas. How would you plan a city where things could be better? I don't know. I don't even know where to go with that. But
no, let me answer that, because I think that's the tough. I think that's the really tough question here. You know, if we're not going to build huge stormwater diversion things, and we're not going to, you know, do this tens of billions, maybe hundreds of billions of mitigation work, what should we do differently? And you allude to the wetlands. You know, I think it was a very simplistic application of a study out of Texas A&M that said, look, you know, Houston's poor development practices have paved over 4 billion gallons of wetland storage capacity. You drop more than, you know, 2 trillion gallons of water on Houston alone, you know, almost 20 trillion on the Houston region where these wetlands were filled. That makes the wetland capacity less than 0.1% of the total you would need. This is a silly narrative. So what do you do? I think we have to start thinking, particularly if we want to talk about climate change, but I think even without, you know, that narrative and the unknowns with that kind of brought in, you know, the potential for more extreme events in the future, I think we have to start talking about how we build up the resiliency of our communities. Part of the reason why I had been having conversations with Houston and people in Houston over the last few years is because their financial situation is abysmal. They have built, and I think this is a legitimate criticism that we can go out and measure, they have built more roads, more streets, more sidewalk, more pipe in the ground than they have the tax base to sustain. Their pension situation is a disaster. They made all these promises in the 80s and 90s to pay pensions based on growth rates that have not materialized. And so they are financially in a really, really weak state. That has led them to do all kinds of bizarre stuff chasing growth that has made their community a really fragile place. It is hard to come back from unexpected calamities when you're that fragile. And my takeaway from Hurricane Harvey is twofold. One, when we talk about these extreme events, people cannot plan and anticipate for them in any reasonable way. And so two, we need to be stronger and more resilient and just healthier in general as communities if we're going to be able to withstand them in the future. I think failing to learn those two lessons and actually going the other route, saying, well, we just need to get better at our predicting and we just need to build bigger stuff, is doing the exact wrong thing that is called for right now.
Chuck, this is John. You kind of answered my question a little bit, but you mentioned earlier about if 30 years ago we had the best planners and best engineers preparing for this thing, now what does Houston do now that it has happened for the next 30 years?
That's a really, I think, tough question, because a lot of the losses here are private sector losses. I mean, you have, by some estimates, over $200 billion of property damage. How much of that is insured? A very small percentage. I saw 20% insured. So you have, you know, upwards of $160 billion of losses that people are going to have to decide what to do. Do they walk away from their homes now with mortgages and give those back to the bank? Do we go in there as a federal government and bail those places out and try to get new people in there and save those mortgages? I think there is a complex web here of federal flood insurance, mortgage conversations, actual neighborhood by neighborhood, block by block. You know, do we put this back in this 100-year floodplain or not? I think that what needs to happen is a much more fine-grained, localized, individual conversation where, you know, people are going to be empowered to make better decisions, and essentially, I don't want to say this in the wrong way, but I think the consequences here for these bad decisions need to rest in places like banks and institutions, and actually, you know, to some degree, in individuals, than they do in, you know, systems and government, because otherwise, we're just going to be destined to repeat the same set of mistakes again.
So, Chuck, what do you think headlines or hearing things like that Houston is paying the price for their ignorance, what does that do to the rest of us that are watching these reports? What does it mean?
You know, I think we also fail to take the lessons then. I think there's a certain smugness, and this is what kind of got me a little bit upset. There's a certain smugness that, well, you know, this could never happen to us. We're not going to have an extreme event here because, you know, we've planned for it. We've taken care of it. We're smarter. We're better. We're not as ignorant as the people in Houston. That down there is just the Wild West. No, that is very much not true. And I think if that's the takeaway, that somehow, you know, these people are getting what they deserve, that karma is going to be really bad. You know, we maybe don't have the extreme events of a hurricane. We maybe don't have the extreme events of an earthquake or even, you know, tornadoes. But we have had extreme events from time to time. The definition of an extreme event is that you really don't anticipate it and don't see it coming. And I think if we fail to learn the lessons and just assume that, you know, somehow we're better and we're more prepared, I think we will eventually be disappointed in, you know, our decisions. I think, again, humility should be the thing we take away from here. Humility in the face of the unknown, in the face of nature, which is capable of doing awesome things. And not be so confident in our ability to plan for it and mitigate it ahead of time. I go back to, you know, often this analogy of just the human, you know, the kind of old adages that my grandparents used to say about saving money and, you know, putting stuff away for a rainy day. These were people who had, you know, a certain sense of humility about the unknown in the future that we as a society often lack. We're astounded by how, you know, good we are at overcoming things and planning for things and anticipating things until we're not. And I think the lesson of Harvey is that you really can't plan for some things. You just gotta, you know, be resilient.
If you want to weigh in on this subject, we'd love to hear from you. You can email comments at kexe.org. We're going to put up a link to Chuck Marone's article from the National Review on our Facebook page. You can also find more information on his blog at strongtowns.org. It kind of will play into our conversation, our next Dig Deep conversation in terms of the media and how the media portrays things. That's our topic next time, I think, right, Chuck?
Hey, I think that was one we put on the table, and that sounds fun, so let's do it.
All right, sounds good. Thanks a lot.
Take care. Go Twins.
You're listening to the Thursday Morning Show on Northern Community Radio. Coming up...